This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank. Some things should be boring, like banking. Boring is safe and reliable. You don't want your bank to be entertaining. Entertaining is for podcasts with inspiring celebrity guests, not banks. PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is the service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC. It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
So thanks for joining me in my backyard.
I love it. I love it. I want to move in.
You can. I think we can find some space for you under an oak someplace. So, you know, the world is so fascinated by you, Tom Brady. You kind of get that, right?
I think I'm growing into it.
Yeah.
More and more. Yeah. I mean, I was so fortunate to do something I love to do. And, you know, it's televised every Sunday for half the year. So,
yeah.
You know, people love football. And I've been able to kind of be in people's homes in that way for a long time. And really enjoyed my career.
I think it's that people, it's more than, of course, people love football. Our country's fanatical about football and sports. But there's something about winning, being a winner, and what that says. And if you watch people when they're watching sports,
yeah.
There's something ultimately spiritual in it because people get to see their team rise to be the best of themselves, and there's something about watching people be the best of themselves that makes those of us who can't do that feel the best, somewhere the best of ourselves.
Yeah. Sports has such a great sense of community, and you know, you get to root for these teams. And when I was a boy growing up in California, I rooted for these teams, and it was everything. I wore the jerseys. If I was lucky enough to go to the game, I went to the games, and I cheered so hard. And when the San Francisco 49ers won on a weekend, it made my weekend. And it was just, you know,
and
I could
why
see.
Why did it make your weekend? Because?
Well, it just evoked a lot of joy. You know, it took you from, you know, as a kid, I mean, everything's joyful. There's, you know, for the most part. As an adult, you know, I could see how people work so hard over the course of the week, and they just can't wait to get to the weekend to relax and to sit in front of a TV with friends and have this social event and, by the way, have a game on and you get to cheer
and
for
them. And kind of live vicariously through that.
Yeah. And then keep scoring and call your friend in some other city and say, we got you, you know. You know, I think everyone gets to participate, and thank God for sports.
Yeah. I have to say that I recently watched your documentary, Tom vs. Time, on Facebook. Couldn't believe that you, Mr. Private, and Giselle, Mrs. Private, that you opened up your life and your home that way.
Yeah.
And has it been interesting, fascinating, fun? What has it shown you about yourself, looking at your life that way?
I love the experience. And I think that it's, you know, life is about stretching, you know, and being outside your comfort zone. And
why'd you decide to do it?
I think it was just good timing. Mm-hmm. I had developed trust with Gotham, who I'd been friends with, and I felt like it would be nice to share with the fans more of what my life was all about.
Because that's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah. Well, it's so focused, you know, for me, it's always been, you know, you see me through the lens of what, you know, you want to see a professional athlete as.
Yeah.
But professional athletes are a lot of other things, too.
They're people, they're dads.
Yeah, they're dads and their husbands, and they're dealing with life as you go through your career like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's only broadcast on a particular day, and there's obviously a lot of coverage with the media over the course of the week, but to say, okay, well, this is actually how it really is, was fun for me. And I also think documenting a part of your life, I can look back on that with my kids and say, wow, this is a really cool piece for our family.
Yeah.
And really happy about it.
I actually was moved by something I heard you say on one of the episodes. You said, spirituality is my deepest purpose. I want to know the whys of life, and I want to know why we're here and where we're going.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee,
yeah,
watching you play football, I wouldn't have thought of you as a spiritual person, or that spirituality was a kind of thing you were seeking or conscious about.
Yeah.
But spirituality is your purpose. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think I have curiosities in many ways, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of it is learning and loving to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think since I was a kid, just loving the experience of learning new things, learning how they impact my life, learning how they impact my relationships, you know, how they impact me on a daily basis. Uh-huh. So my wife would say we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes, you know, and yeah, that's one of my favorite phrases.
I know, it's great, and it's so true. I want to live a great, impactful, purposeful life, and I want to impact people from the lessons that I've learned and see if people can learn anything and try to relate it in their life some way.
You know, not only is that one of my favorite sayings from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who said, yeah, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, but I think we also all have a calling, you know?
Yeah.
And I think mine was obviously using television or being on television and then deciding I was going to use it for a purpose. And I think yours, obviously, was football.
Yeah. Being on TV. Same thing, you know, it's just a different way of, I think for me, you know, showcasing what my love is and being mm-hmm. able to, sports are very inspirational for people.
Yeah.
And they were inspiring for me growing up. And there was.
So, but when did you know, when did you first know that football, that when did it have you?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember quite, you know, the exact. I just always loved sports. I was a terrible student. Mm-hmm. I didn't put much effort into my school.
I didn't hear terrible. I read the B's.
Yeah, not a lot of effort. If my kids were given the effort that I gave, I would not be very happy as a dad.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I just enjoyed, you know, I always enjoyed being out in the yard. I enjoyed playing. I enjoyed the competition and still do. So to, you know, have all these experiences in high school and college, I talk about some of those in the book, you know, about why there's these curiosities of getting better and learning mm-hmm. more about myself, because that's what it's about. You know, there's a lot of adversities. I went through a lot of adversities through my career to get to this point. Not only with sports, but, you know, personal things as well that you're learning and you're adjusting and adapting and trying to live this purposeful life.
Well, what's interesting, when I was reading the TB12 method, how to achieve a lifetime of sustained peak performance,
yeah,
according to Tom Brady, what fascinated me about yeah. this book that I know, bestseller, is that it seemed like your approach feels like another way. I actually thought it was refreshing. It feels like, I said to the producers, it feels like a different time where people worked hard, they tried, there was discipline, there was effort put into making yourself better,
yeah,
improving your skills, improving
yeah.
your skills, improving your skills, which is what you talk about in this. And I think a lot of people, even people that I know very well, thought, oh, gee, you've won all these Super Bowls, that this came easy for you, but
yeah,
it did not.
You know, I get that a lot, too, because, you know, I think they would see me now
yes.
as an older athlete and think, wow, this is just, you got to be this certain athlete who had this success in the career. And my version of myself is very different,
no,
you know, based on my life experiences and based on all the things that have allowed me to.
No, not just this athlete, an athlete who's had 5 Super Bowl championships,
yeah,
is defined as the greatest athlete in the world of all
well,
time, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But I think it's those experiences that you have that become a part of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and the hardest experiences, because it was never, I would say, given to me. You
uh-huh.
know, there were opportunities presented to me, but it wasn't like, I think in some ways we're doing a disservice to the kids today. There's
yeah.
so much attention on these kids as, you know, high school athletes, as college athletes. Now there was just, these guys are getting picked for the NFL draft, and they make it seem like they've done something in a way, and they haven't.
And they haven't.
They've just started.
Yeah, yet.
You know, and that's, but I think when you spoil them in a way, or they're entitled to this sense of, oh, well, now I'm here, and now I'm
but
good.
But I will tell you, Tom, I did not, you know, I kind of was been looking at you as this grand, great, master football player, and I didn't know your backstory.
Yeah.
So in reading the book, I was struck by the fact that, number one, you were the 199th
yeah.
draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aren't there only 200?
There's just a couple more than 200, but 199 is pretty far down the line.
Okay. And I was struck by this, that the scouting report at the time said, I was tall, poised, smart, and alert, able to read coverages. I had good accuracy and touch, and I was potentially a team leader. But the positives were buried under a landslide of other stuff. Poor build,
yeah.
very skinny and narrow, can get pushed down more easily than you'd like, lacks mobility and ability to avoid the rush, lacks a really strong arm, can't drive the ball down the field, and does not throw a really tight spiral. And the report ended by calling you a system type player who's not what you're looking for in terms of physical stature.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're speaking of Tom Brady. Not what you're looking for in terms of physical strength, yeah, arm strength, and mobility. And could make it in the right system, but will not be for everyone.
Yeah.
And five Super Bowl championships later.
When I hear that, they were true.
Yeah.
I mean, all those things absolutely at that time were true.
When you saw that at that time, could you be as open and honest with yourself then as you are now to say, oh, yeah, I don't lack arm strength.
Yeah.
And were you able to do that, or was this hurtful at the time?
Well, no, I think I was a bit naive to maybe some of those things because I just had in my mind like, oh, cool, I went to school and I want to play pro football and I'm going to get picked and of course I'm going to play. You crazy? You know, why would you not think that I'm going to be able to do that? And everyone else was like, you should really think about another job or you should put together a resume. And I was like, why would I put together a resume? I'm going to go play professional football. And even, you know, my first year, I was like, okay, I want to buy, you know, before I made
the team.
Weren't
you tempted with baseball at first, though?
Yeah, I loved baseball.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, much more natural playing that. But I fell in love with football, and I thought, wow, this is what I want to do.
And then you go to Michigan.
Yeah. I was at Michigan, and I started at a place that I was way down the depth chart.
Yeah.
And I had a long ways to go. And I really learned in college how to work, how to learn, how to develop my other skills.
So when you see that you have a long way to go, even in college at Michigan, other guys are beating you, outperforming you, and you are being challenged by that. Does that excite you and stimulate you, or do you feel overwhelmed by that?
A little of both. Overwhelmed at times, but also, I think, determined. I wasn't blessed with a lot of things that they wrote about. You know, size, what do they look for? They want someone tall. They want someone fast. They want someone strong. They want someone that can have all these physical traits. But I didn't have all those physical traits at the time, so I had to work to develop other traits. Leadership, perseverance, determination, work ethic. And I think some of those things were a part of me. Discipline, you know, and then you get to be a professional athlete and everyone's really talented. Well, what other skills have you developed? You know, you can't just rely anymore on being the most gifted, being the most talented, because by the way, everybody was
talented.
So what other things have you been able to develop? And I was fortunate to be in very competitive environments in high school and college where I had to work on those things. And then I got to my pro team and I was like, look, I felt this internally, but I could bring other things. I'm not going to bring the typical what you're looking for, but if you give me time to develop, I can develop into something that could be a great leader of a team and be very disciplined and set the tone and great work ethic. And those are things that I enjoyed then, and I still enjoy those things now.
And so do you still have the same kind of approach? For instance, in 2017, you're playing Atlanta and down by 25 points.
Yeah.
When you look up at the score and you're down by 25 points,
yeah,
do you think, can't wait to pull out of that one? Or do you think, or are you feeling like everybody else is like, well, this game is over, it's done?
Yeah. I'm first thinking like, what the hell? How did we get ourselves in this situation, you know? But I think there's other things you think about and you're like, man, if we could pull this off, and you know, it's a team effort. I mean, it's a team game. It's the ultimate team sport, and I love playing it.
But most people look at you 25 points down in the fourth quarter,
beginning
of the fourth quarter, over.
Yeah.
Most people are thinking game, like a lot of people are leaving the stadium because it's done.
Yeah, and it was close to being over. I mean, it was
close to
one
being
or
over.
Two plays from being over.
One or two plays from being over. And what then happens to you? You go into some kind of overdrive that says what?
Well, I think you can't score 25 points at a time. You can't overcome these huge deficits in the blink of an eye. It said, you know, we looked at each other. We had a lot of trust in each other, a lot of belief in each other, and we'd got to that Super Bowl. I mean, it's hard to get to.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other and we said, look, we got to get one drive, one scoring drive. And then once we got the drive, we looked at the defense and said, just one stop. And they got the stop and we got it back out there. We said, okay, let's go. We got one. We got a shot. And then we scored again. And then you get the momentum. And then it's on your side.
So it's the next right move. You don't think about it as a whole. You think about it as what is the next right thing and the next right thing.
Yeah, forget about what happened. You know, move on from that and think about the, you know, what can we do and how do we get the ball and gain some yards and score some points. And
that, in that way, football is a metaphor for life. Is it not?
Oh, man. 100%, 100%. It's decisions every day. It's decisions every moment, you know. We're a product
but
of
where is
decisions.
The next right move? Where is the next right
yeah.
move?
Yeah, based on what you're dealing with, what's yeah. the next right move? And
yeah.
I think you got to try to do the best you can to put yourself in situations where you're making the right moves and consistently making good decisions to build upon whatever your goals and dreams are.
Well, I know everyone always says there's nothing like the first time for anything. So there's the first win
yeah.
for the Super Bowl, 2001.
2001.
Okay. But do they get better?
Yeah.
They get better.
Better.
There had yeah. to be nothing like that one in Atlanta, the last one.
No, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. That was great because I had this success early in my career. We won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. I yeah. didn't even know what happened in my life. You know, I came out of college and I was like, we're on this great team and we yeah. won these Super Bowls and everyone's like, this is unbelievable. And I was like, what's going on? Like, this is just, everything was happening and there was all these things to do and place to go and opportunities. And I was so young to, didn't have the perspective
yeah.
to really appreciate what I was going through.
Yeah.
And then you spend so much more time for these years where we didn't win a championship. It's not that it's all about winning a championship, but you grow in your life. And then finally, 10 years after we won our third one, I was able to win the fourth one on our team in 2014. And that was like, wow, I had perspective. It's really hard to do. It's really hard to climb the mountain. And, you know, our team was able to do it. And, I mean, that was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Don't go anywhere. More to come after this short break.
No two travelers are exactly alike, and that means no two trips should be either. Texas' vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities allow for an infinite number of different travel experiences. Are you a beach person? Well, you'll be having fun under the sun with Texas' 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies can't get enough of Texas' world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually-led trip matched to their unique interests. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters, yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Shop by price, like 25 and under to 100 and under. Category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted and for grandma. Get top gifts like Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Does it feel out of body at the moment where you know we have won?
Yeah.
This.
There was a few moments in both the last ones.
Yes.
That we won where it's out of body. And then when you lose, you wish you were out of body. Because you're like, this is a nightmare. And But you'd rather get there and lose than never get there. And it's hard to get there.
Okay, so let's talk about the winning first. Yeah. What does that out-of-body thing feel like? Can you describe it?
It's just complete joy in the present. You've got everyone there, all your loved ones, family, friends, and you're just on top of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so much excitement.
And does it feel like the conclusion to all the hard work and all the sacrifice and all the time and all the training and all that? Does it feel like the ultimate in... this is the reward for
that. Yeah, and it takes a little time to kind of let it all settle in because you're digesting a lot of emotions because the seasons aren't just, always, up. I mean, you have, the highs and lows, and it's a 5-month season. So it takes a couple weeks, and after a couple weeks, you settle back into your life. And then once you get the Super Bowl ring, then you have a chance to just, those celebrations with your teammates because it's about the relationships I have. That's what my sport has been the greatest thing, is to meet so many guys, to have so many connections with so many people that you care deeply about because you commit to one another, and that's what you have for the rest of your life.
So how high does a high last? Is it a couple weeks?
No, if you win the Super Bowl, months.
Months, okay.
It goes on and on
okay.
and on and on, okay. and you just feel good. So you really are into the next season in some ways because you're celebrating.
So it carries you. It carries you all the way through.
Yeah, a long time.
Okay. How low does the low last? So after that game with the Eagles, I saw your face.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a different year this year. And when you lose, in 2007, this was, 11 years ago, we had, I think, one of the greatest football teams in the history of football. Went undefeated. We got to the Super Bowl. We played the Giants, and we lost. It was a month before I really felt back to myself. It was a nightmare. You woke up the next morning. I said, it didn't happen. There's no way that happened. And then this year, after the game, I did the press stuff after the game, and I walked back toward the locker room. I was still dressed in my clothes, and I saw my wife and I saw my three kids. And my little girl and my son, Benny, were crying. And I went over and I said, Daddy, we don't like the Eagles, And I said, you know what? You don't always win. You don't always win. You try your best, and you do the best you can do. And I think because you have the kids, it's not about, you'd love to win. You always want to win. But the sun's going to come up the next day, and you're going to be taking the kids to school the next day. And in some ways, this year was easier for me than it has been in the past. And it's not that I don't want to win the same. Mm-hmm. It's just there's other really important things as
really important things in your life. So how long does the low last?
This year it was probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, 2 weeks. And
does that mean nobody wants to be around you low?
Or no, not as bad.
Not as bad.
Not as bad.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just a little, you're down. You're a little depressed.
Yeah.
You wish the outcome were different, but.
But you still have to go on and do the things with your family. You're still doing things with your family.
Well,
you're
I think what you think about too, yeah, definitely. I think what you think about is, it's like I said, it'd be like climbing a mountain,
Yeah.
And that's what, I guess, the correlation is. You start at this place and you work so hard. As the season goes, it just gets tougher because you get higher on the mountain. More people are falling off, and it's such a physical sport. And then imagine getting 15 feet from the top of the mountain, and then you tumble all the way back down with nothing to show for it. And then you're just like every other team because only one team gets to win it. But it's good perspective, too. How do you appreciate all the wins if you don't lose?
So that is a good question. What has winning taught you about yourself, and what has losing taught you?
It's a tough question. Winning's taught me a lot of things. When I feel like winning, I never feel like I win. I feel like we win. And that's why I chose team, team sport and other players, and other coaches and families.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't do it if we didn't have each other.
Right.
We couldn't do it if we didn't have the support of everyone else. So the winning for me comes in the joy of experiencing it with other people. I think it's not like I go home and I'm proud of us. I'm proud of what we did. I think team sports are great. In that sense.
And what has the losing taught you? About yourself?
I would say that I hate to lose. I really just hate to lose.
Yeah, but oftentimes I have found in my own life, and I've seen this with thousands of people I've talked to over the years, that you learn the most about yourself when you appear to fail, when things don't go the way you want them to go.
Yeah.
So. You learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah. It's hard to be so critical on yourself when you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
You're figuring out every single decision you made when you lose, every thought, every action, every step, and you're trying not to repeat those. So
when you're called the greatest quarterback of all time by just about every sports writer, first of all, can you allow yourself to internally interpret what that means to be the best quarterback of all time?
I don't like it. I don't like when people say it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't like it at all.
Why?
Well, I don't feel that way. I'm not attached to that feeling. I don't care whether people think that or not. You know, I want to be the best I can be. I know when I go out there, it's not to compare myself to this guy or that guy. It's everyone's good. Everyone plays good.
You say, even at the very beginning of the book, I think when you first went to Michigan, you wanted to compete, you want a competitor, you know, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing there. So as a person who loves to compete as much as you do,
yeah,
and loves you get a thrill out of actually the competition,
yeah,
it must feel particularly good to then be considered the very best.
Yeah, I still feel like I'm in it.
Ah.
I still feel like I'm doing it. I still feel like there's still more to be accomplished. I was practicing the last 2 days, working on my technique, on my fundamentals, all the things with my training that I still feel like I can be better, percentage better. You know, I played a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you go, hey man, I'm going to become,
yeah,
you know, something different. No, I am what I am. I know my strengths. I've improved on some of the weaknesses, and I still think I want to go out there and compete and play with a bunch of 22-year-olds and, you know. It's still a lot of fun.
So you write about how to achieve a lifetime of sustained peak performance. Do you believe that most people can do that in their lives, in whatever area of their lives, they can maintain peak performance?
I do. I really do. And I think it's up to people to determine what they want to achieve. I think meeting all these people that I've been fortunate, because I do have a purpose of wanting to use all the things that I've learned over a long period of time at the highest athletic level to teach other people what may work for them in their life so they could do the things they want to do. I've been fortunate to learn the right things, or what I believe to be the right things, what work for me. So I wrote them down, because people ask me all the time, hey, I want to do it. How do I do it? What should I do? And I said, okay, well, let me think about it. And, you know, let me articulate it in a way that, you know, people can understand.
Are you as crazy disciplined as everybody thinks you are? Because you're coming to my house for dinner, and like everybody is like,
yeah,
I've never seen people crazier about the chef is studying the book.
Oh man.
The security people are reading up on what does he eat, what can we have, what kind of water. He doesn't drink this. He only eats jicama and hummus. And
No. That was very sweet. Thank you. But I think that, you know. No, because...
Should I be scared if you're coming to dinner?
No, you shouldn't be.
No, this is it. Tom's coming to dinner, so I go, have hummus, have peas, have vegetarian, have vegan, have gluten-free, have chicken, have grass-fed beef, have chickens that we gathered ourselves, have fish that we went and fished ourselves. We have, I'm telling you, farm-raised salmon, the whole thing. But should we be that crazed?
No, I mean, it depends. Again, I'm an athlete. I depend wholly on my body. My body is my asset. I can't go out there on the field and eat fast food and expect it to perform.
Oh,
especially at this level.
That. My body is my asset.
It is.
Okay.
If I don't have this, if it breaks down, I can't play. I wrote it in the book. When I was 25 years old, I couldn't throw the ball. My arm was hurting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how can I play sports if...
Yes.
If I'm in pain.
And you thought all you do, ice and come back, because you're always in pain.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to do the same thing, and it never worked.
It never worked.
And I thought, well, I better think differently if I want to keep playing. I better think about the things that really do work. And I don't think, even when you talk about, like, diet, I had a terrible diet when I was a kid, the worst diet. And probably all the way through, I was 25. And then I was like, okay, well, this isn't working out well. I'm not quite getting the results I want to get, so why don't I change? Why don't I try some different things? And over the course of 15 years, it came to this. And it's hard to say for someone, hey, do all these 30 things and make a difference. I think, and that's right, it's just start slow. Start with what works for you. And maybe start cutting out a few things, but only if you want. I mean, it's everyone's life. They get to choose what they want. And, you know.
But your body is your asset.
Your body's your temple. For me, again, I don't want to be this professional athlete that finishes playing and I can't walk. I want to be able to play. I want to be able to ski. I want to be able to surf. I like to be active. I like to, you know, that's what I enjoy. So to be able to go out there and...
So what's a given day? What are you eating at the Brady household?
I usually have a smoothie in the morning.
With some TB12 protein powder.
Yeah, a little of that. Yeah, smoothie in the morning most if I'm at home.
Uh-huh.
And then a good...
You put fruit in it?
I don't love fruit. Maybe, yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah, I know you had a thing with strawberries.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't like that. For some reason, I know. I don't like that. But just a healthy lunch. I have good supplements through the day. I make sure I always have the right supplements, like protein and protein snacks and good healthy snacks around the house. And then, you know...
Do you eat three meals a day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, three meals. And then we're very fortunate to have someone cook for us, so mm-hmm. I don't have to think too much about you know, exactly what to do. But
so you, it's a healthy household.
Yeah, it is.
Would you ever eat, because I saw somewhere where Giselle said she likes Dunkin' Donuts. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, she likes the donut holes.
She does, oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, but you're not eating the donut holes.
No, I do.
Yeah.
On occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I bring, like, I love going there and with my kids. I was in New York last weekend. I was, what do you guys want to do? We want to get donuts. Let's go. And I think that's what I want people to understand, too. It's not like you have to be, you, there's discipline, but not like...
And are you less disciplined off season than on season? So on season, really?
I think similar.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd say one thing I'm really good at is hydrating. I'm always drinking all day long.
Uh-huh. Water.
Water, because I just don't want any muscle issues. You know, mm-hmm. my muscle is what's going to allow me to move and run and throw and not be in pain. And that's one thing I'd say I'm very disciplined. I do consistently throughout the day.
How many glasses of water?
Quite a bit. Quite a bit. I don't know. I just keep, when I'm thirsty, I just...
You just keep...
Continue to overdo it.
Yeah, okay. I don't drink enough water. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
And so...
I don't think most people do. It's just part of, you know, we kind of wait till we're thirsty. But I know for me in my life, the ramifications if I don't do that. And mm-hmm. I don't get to play good.
Right.
I mean, why am I going to work so hard if I go out there and I am hurting myself? You know, muscle injuries or arm hurts or... That's not going to be fun. Why make these other sacrifices if...
You know, well, you know, well, from the outside, it looks like you have an insatiable drive. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
To be the best I can be, you know, mm-hmm. not to be the best what anyone else thinks, just to be the best I can be. Why am I still playing now? Because I feel like I can still do it. And I think I'd look back at something that I love to do, and why should I stop? I talk about it with my wife all the time. You could ask her tonight. She'd be like, I told him, you know, like... You know, why? What more do you want? And I said, because I love it. It's just, I love it.
With all the new science on concussions and what's happening to particularly pro football athletes after they retire and into their 50s and 60s, you're not concerned about that, about concussions?
I'm aware of it. I'm definitely aware of it. And I think that the league's done a good job of, in all sports, college, pros, they're doing a good job of identifying what it is and putting more protocols in place. But
and
yeah.
You don't get kicked in the head as much as the quarterback, but yeah. are you concerned for your fellow players?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm glad they're taking those steps. They've changed some helmets. They've tried to make the game safer. They've implemented some rules. But it's also football, too, you know? I mean, people are going to watch if it was two-hand touch. I mean, let's be real. It's,
yeah.
So we like football. We like the physical nature of the sport. And what can you do, in my belief, based on what I'm an athlete, and I see all these guys who have come before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, okay, well, how can I live a more healthy lifestyle so that I can still play contact sports and I can still deal with the impacts of the sport? And how can I deal with those in the most proactive way possible?
Mm-hmm. I remember, did I read in the book or see it in the doc where you were saying that many times, often when you lose a game, it feels like you're losing the pursuit of what your life is. Explain that to me. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a game to you. It's the pursuit of what your life is.
Well, I put a lot into it. I put a lot into it. When I've got decisions in the course of the day, a lot of mine always say, how's it going to help my career?
Yeah.
So when you fail in your career, you know, you look at all those decisions during your life and go, is it worth it? Is it worth it to miss things, your family? Is it worth it to be as disciplined as I am with my diet?
Yeah.
You know, why don't I just, you know, give a shit less?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's my personality because I do really care, mm-hmm. you know, and when I look at my teammates, I want them to know that I care.
So you just said that you're going to keep playing. So I'm not even going to ask you the question because you just said, I'm going to keep playing.
Yeah.
You are aware of the science and reports about concussions, but you're going to keep playing because you love it so much.
Yeah.
Our conversation will continue in the next episode. You can listen by downloading part 2. I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.